It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Mergers and money-making.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Some companies today say they're getting together. Oracle will buy Sun Microsystems for about $7.5 billion. Drug maker GlaxoSmithKline says it'll buy Stiefel Labs in a deal worth $3.5 billion. So, where's Wall Street? Dow is down more than 2% at this hour. NASDAQ and S&P shares down more than 2.33%. European shares lower 1-3%. And Asian markets closed mostly higher overseas. All right, let's talk to Jane DiRista, an analyst with the Financial Market Center. Jane, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You got it. We have obviously numbers down at this moment. Why aren't we seeing much reaction to these mergers that were announced?
I think that the financial sector is now getting used to the idea that mergers are out there. Moreover, I suspect that the investment banks, the ones that remain, as well as Merrill Lynch with B of A, are trying to get back into their business of arranging these to get the fees, to get the profits coming again, and they're succeeding.
So let's talk about Bank of America then, and B of A, of course, reporting this morning that their profits more than doubled in the first quarter. What's going on there?
The banks themselves have perceived, and I think the market is beginning to perceive, that the government is very concerned about their capital position, has finally awakened to the fact that we were having an erosion of capital through the toxic assets and through the derivatives, the calls for collateral, et cetera, which was going to wipe out the system if they didn't do something. Well, one of the things that they have done was to get Congress to agree to pay interest on reserve accounts. And so what we saw was last September, reserves with the Federal Reserve banks were $67 billion. They peaked at $900 billion in January. This means the banks have collateral that is good as gold. It is an asset on the asset side of their banks which earns money on the one hand, and on the other hand can be traded, can be used as collateral, et cetera. And it does not require a charge against capital because nobody's going to question that collateral.
All right. Jane DiRista, an analyst with the Financial Market Center. Jane, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Turns out the big banks haven't been as lend-friendly as even the government thought. All that bailout money, and apparently it hasn't done much to open up credit. Here's Marketplace's senior business correspondent, Bob Moon.
In releasing its latest bank lending numbers, the Treasury Department pointed to what it called relatively steady overall lending levels. But that upbeat assessment didn't carry over to President Obama's view as he spoke to reporters in Trinidad yesterday.
This is still a difficult time for the economy. Credit is still contracted. Banks still are not lending at previous levels.
In fact, the Wall Street Journal takes a closer look at the data this morning and reports the Treasury spin was a lot rosier than what the numbers show. The paper says all but three of the biggest recipients of government assistance originated fewer loans in February, 23% fewer overall, than they did before they got the federal bailout funds. The Treasury Department said last week the situation could be even worse without the government's cash infusions. The banks insist they're eager to lend. They contend demand for loans is down. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
We heard this morning that 1,600 General Motors workers will lose their jobs during the next few days, all part of the carmakers' efforts to stay in business. hearing The Morning Report on Monday, April 20th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. We've heard rumblings that banking giants such as Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase are strong enough to pay their portion of bailout money and get back to business as usual. Today, the Financial Times reports they'll be allowed to do that, but under certain conditions. Here's Ashley Milne-Tight.
The sooner banks can repay their bailout money, the faster they can get back to doing business without Uncle Sam breathing down their necks. As long as they're using government money, they have to stick to government rules, including restrictions on executive pay. An administration official has told the Financial Times that banks itching to pay the government back will be able to do so after the government's made sure it would be in the country's economic interest. The president says different banks need various levels of help. He touched on that at a news conference in Trinidad yesterday.
I'm not going to simply put taxpayer money into a black hole where you're not going to see results or some exit strategy so that taxpayers ultimately are relieved of these burdens.
The administration reportedly wants to ensure the entire financial system is stable before letting big banks cut ties to the government. Among other things, that means ensuring the system has enough capital to allow credit to flow and help drive a recovery. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
More news today on the fate of GM's European division. The Financial Times says the carmaker is looking to unload its controlling stake in Germany's Opel and the UK's Vauxhall. And the price tag? Nothing. Christopher Worth has more.
GM has run out of money for its European operations and has been looking to restructure Opel and Vauxhall for months. The latest development could see GM turn over its majority stake for a little more than a promise to take good care of it. The lucky investor would reportedly inject a minimum of $650 million directly into Opel, with no real financial gain for GM. A great deal of that money could come in the form of guaranteed loans from the German government. Germany refused an outright bailout of Opel earlier this year. GM is also said to be willing to wash its hands of Saab for nothing more than a handshake. Meanwhile, the head of GM's Asia-Pacific division says the company hopes to grow its Chinese market by 5 to 10% this year. He made those comments at today's opening of the Shanghai Auto Show. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Halliburton said this morning its first quarter earnings fell 35% as oil and natural gas producers cut back on exploration and drilling because of low prices. Declining profits, not so nice for the company. But there's something else it has to contend with as well. Here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
If Halliburton wants to know what people think of it, it can always check the spoof ads on YouTube.
You close your eyes and randomly toss a dart on the Senate floor and you'll hit someone in my back pocket.
Halliburton, it's not what we know, it's who we know.
And that's one of the nicer ones. Pratap Chatterjee is an expert on military contracting.
Halliburton will forever be associated with Dick Cheney and with the Iraq War, whether they like it or not.
The thing is, Halliburton spun off its military contract business 2 years ago. Branding expert Rob Frankel says it'll be tough for Halliburton to change its image.
When you've neglected your brand strategy for as long as they have, you also have to do a lot of repair work for all those years you allowed other people to define you.
Another military contractor, Blackwater, recently changed its name to Z. Frankel says instead of a new name, Halliburton should focus on its relatively solid business servicing oil and gas companies, which analysts say should keep the company strong for years to come. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The stimulus package sets aside tens of billions of dollars to promote energy efficiency and green jobs. A new training program in Los Angeles is banking on future demand for solar panel installers. And some trainees say this kind of opportunity wouldn't just change their careers, it could change their lives. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Caitlin Carroll.
Albert Ortega stands in front of a class of about 20 men and women. Ortega's a big guy with tattoos.
You see that little cloud that sits over LA? The fog, smog, all that stuff? That's air mass.
Like most of the students in the class, Ortega's an ex-gang member and convicted felon. He found out about solar panel work right after he finished serving time for selling drugs.
I just got out of prison, and the guys at the reentry program, some of them were enrolled in the solar panel class. So I got kind of curious. I wanted to know what it was about.
The East Los Angeles Skills Center runs the class. Ex-gang members filter into the course through an organization called Homeboy Industries. It's the largest gang prevention program in the country. Ortega liked designing solar panel systems, and he saw it as a way to support his family and stay out of prison.
I wanted it better than I've ever wanted anything in my life before, you know?
On a weekday morning, the lobby of Homeboy Industries is packed with ex-gang members signing up for job training. The solar panel course is the newest offering, and it's full for the next few months.
Just tells you how eager people are, and they see the handwriting on the wall. They think this actually could be a career.
That's Father Greg Boyle. He founded Homeboy Industries a couple decades ago. Boyle says about 100 people have been trained and are looking for jobs. But competition is tough right now. The job market is full of experienced installers who don't have criminal records. Philippe Hartley is the general manager of solar company Fat Energy. He could have hired anyone, but chose to find workers at Homeboy Industries because of its mission.
We don't want people to think that you have to come out of MIT to be able to install solar power. A well-trained individual can make as good a worker as a lifelong electrician.
Installers can make more than $20 an hour, and the public sector is beginning to hire. The city of Los Angeles has plans to retrofit some school and city buildings. In the meantime, guys like Ortega continue to train others in the trade.
Father Greg's motto is jobs, not jail, you know, and that's one of the biggest things that we're going to be able to produce with the solar panel class.
So even if the solar jobs aren't there yet, he says the possibility creates a ray of hope. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
ExxonMobil replaced Walmart at the top spot at the Fortune 500. The magazine released its list yesterday. Fortune says as far as earnings go, it's the worst year ever for that list. And that goes back 55 years.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now to talk about the revenue plunge. Alan, what's the most interesting number you see in there?
$4.1 trillion.
Why is that so interesting?
Well, it's interesting to me because that's how much the stocks in the 500 were selling for this year as opposed to what they sold for a year ago. So you're down $4.1 trillion, which even these days is a lot of money.
So how did we go, Alan, then from seeing the stock market as this safe haven to, my God, I'm not touching that?
Well, this has to do with, you'll forgive me, age, Steve. But there was a huge bull market from the summer of 1982 through the spring of 2000, and stocks returned 20% a year. This idea got in the land that it was really easy to save for your own retirement by just buying an index fund or send your kids to private college because the stock market would provide. And for 7 years after that market ended, that fantasy was still there, but now I think it's gone.
So here we are out of fantasy land, Alan. What have we learned then from the crash?
Well, I'll tell you what I've learned, and I hope other people have learned it as well, which is that you cannot trust the stock market to take care of you. You have to take care of you. In 2 years, the stock market, again, as measured by the Fortune 500, was down 43%. I mean, these are stunning numbers, and they ought to tell you that nothing goes up forever and that you cannot trust your fate to the stock market because it's the old story. You may love your stocks, but your stocks don't love you.
But nothing will stay down forever either, Alan, right?
That's true. But given how many people are, you'll forgive me again, my age, who had saved all of their lives, were getting ready to retire, which is not the case with me because I'll never retire because my wife will shoot me if I do. but all these boomers who were close to 65 or 66, suddenly they're a lot less wealthy than they thought they were. And heaven help us all, they're going to rely on Social Security.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Share your thoughts with us at our website. Check out, of course, the trading floor, the scratch pad with our online blogger, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.